This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now here's a headline from last Monday morning. Extreme heat baking U.S., likely to linger into weekend.
Well, a little bit of concern, obviously, because this is just the beginning of what we think's coming to pass, you know, and now here we are.
Because this isn't getting, it's not going to get any better, you know, before it gets worse. It's like, we got to wake up, you know, so hopefully the future, our children,
well, they're smarter than we were.
They definitely smarter than we are and were at their age.
There's one advantage they have.
Yeah, so absolutely. Well, you stay cool.
All over the world, people are figuring out how to cope with temperatures that are becoming truly unlivable. London reached 104 degrees recently. Portland, Oregon last week, 102. And on the plains of Texas, it was 110 or higher.
So I have morning tasks, anything that requires thought or that I know is going to be a little more difficult mentally, first thing in the morning. And then the afternoon, hopefully you know where to work in the shade.
Recently, our contributor Dhruv Kular was in India. The capital, New Delhi, hit 122 degrees this year. Schools and businesses changed their hours or closed entirely. Birds fell from the sky.
I have family in India. My parents are from India. And so I had always gone back over the years to visit family who still live there, my aunts and uncles, cousins.
He says that every time he visits India, it feels hotter than the last time. Dhruv Kular is also a practicing physician at a hospital in New York, and he's looking at the effect of extreme temperatures on our bodies.
There's the obvious things that you might think about, like heat stroke and dehydration, but there's so many other ways that extreme heat affects people's health, whether it's cardiovascular disease or respiratory disease. And so what I really wanted to do was take a trip in the middle of this heat wave and figure out what it was like on the ground.
The sun is beating down. Even at this hour, we're here early in the morning, it's already 93 degrees. It's expected to rise another 10 or 15 degrees later in the afternoon.
When I go to India, it is a type of heat that I almost feel like I never experience here. It is kind of scorching hot. It's often very humid. You kind of feel like you have to be inside in air conditioning as much as possible. And you also recognize that most people don't have that opportunity in India. So when it gets really, really hot, that's a very different calculus in India than it is in the United States.
In fact, India has reported 4 heat waves since the beginning of summer. And its capital, New Delhi, is now dealing with a fire that has been raging on for 30 hours now at the Bhalsawal landfill in the northern part of the capital.
So, you know, March was one of the hottest months in the history of India, and then April was one of the hottest months in the history of India. And on April 26th, this huge landfill on the outskirts of Delhi, it's on the outskirts of Delhi, but it's only about 15 miles from the seat of the Indian government, it caught fire.
As a landfill burned outside the capital Wednesday, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi warned the country is getting too hot too soon.
And, you know, landfills are known to catch fire. They do from time to time. There's a lot of toxic fumes and gases. But this extreme heat created a massive fire that firefighters couldn't put out for basically weeks.
More news from Delhi. Well, after the Ghazipur Mandi, the Bhalswa landfill unit in North Delhi is the one that has caught fire, and this has been happening for the last 4 days or so, with residents living in this area.
And the toxic fumes and the heat of the landfill itself affected a lot of people's health in terrible ways. I mean, people were having trouble breathing, people were having trouble thinking clearly, people suffered burns. And so it was a really kind of severe and dire example of what, you know, these types of extreme temperatures can inflict on a community. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to go and see it for myself.
So we're standing here at the Bhalswa landfill. It looks like a mountain from afar. I thought it was a mountain, but when you get closer, you see rags, you see bottles, you see all sorts of trash. There's a few areas where the landfill, which was on fire a few weeks ago, still seems to be sending off fumes.
A lot of people actually make their livings at these landfills. And so what they're doing is collecting the trash, they're storing the trash, they are selling it to people who are then recycling the trash.
I see not just children, but older people. Some folks are taking carts, wagons down the street to try to take what they can.
Not just these trucks that are driving up and dumping, whatever trash that they want to dump there. There are people that live there. There are schools nearby. There are people who come from other cities just to work at these landfills.
I saw a gentleman just walk by with what looked like a cart full of lemons that he was going to sell.
They're often called waste pickers or rag pickers, but in India, it's very common that that people make their living at these landfills. So I went to the landfill with two NGOs that support people who work at the landfill, and we walked down this kind of alley into a brick hut. These huts that line the path to the landfill. Outside of one, I saw a man who was kind of knotting human hair that he'd collected at the landfill, and his intention was to sell them as wigs. I walked into one of these huts, and there were five or six women. And they were all dressed in kind of very colorful clothing, and they were really eager to kind of tell their story and their experience, both with the fire, but also with the heat and generally the challenging working conditions that they endure every day.
Mera naam Sarah Banu hai aur main Nelfil ke paas hi rehta hu. To jaise hum log ka kabada in logo se khareed lete.
There was a woman named Syra who was kind of the local boss, and she she was standing in the corner. She was dressed in kind of a blue and red sari with her head covered. She answered most questions that I asked that I asked the group, and she, you know, she had a lot to say. Her parents are from Calcutta, and after they got married, they moved to Delhi. Syra and her siblings were all born in a kind of a poor area of Delhi. You know, she says one of the reasons that she stayed in Delhi was that in the villages, they don't have these large landfills. Whereas here at the Bhalswa landfill, she was able to make a living. She was able to educate her children. She was able to kind of scrap together a way of life that just wasn't possible back in her village. One of the things that they told me is that it's really hard to work in the summer because of the extreme heat. So in the winter, even if parts of the landfill are on fire, they're able to wrap scarves around their faces or protect themselves and are able to continue working. In the summer, that becomes really, really difficult. Some of the women try to drape a shirt over themselves, drape a shirt over their head. That makes them feel even hotter. They take water up to the landfill and it becomes so hot, almost like boiling by the time that they're able to drink it. So it's a really challenging situation. So, you know, Syra told me, up until a few years ago even, she felt like it was possible for people to comfortably work on the landfill. But she said that it doesn't feel that way anymore. They're having to really change their schedules. They're not able to work on the landfill during the day. So a lot of them go up there in the middle of the night, and that's when they have to work. It's the only time that is tolerable to work. Some of the women told me that they sleep up there, that they eat up there. So being outside in the sun, in the direct heat, all day long, as you can imagine, has kind of a terribly damaging impact on the body. You know, these women were suffering from dehydration, from headaches, from exhaustion, rashes, fevers, you know, the smell of the garbage. It was sickening, but they couldn't even tolerate masks because it was so hot. Some of the people who already had respiratory issues when the fire started, they weren't even able to get out of bed because it became so difficult for them to breathe. I asked them where they go when they have these types of symptoms. Is there anywhere they can get medical care? And they told me there wasn't. Sometimes they pool together their money and they go to a local pharmacy to buy a medication that they think might help. But really, they have almost no access to medical care. You know, we've talked a lot about the physical health effects of extreme heat and extreme weather, but, you know, the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has recently highlighted the mental health effects. And I think that's something that we don't talk enough about. I mean, if you have an underlying mental health problem, that could spiral out of control because of some of these events. But also people who suffer from, you know, a hurricane or a drought or a wildfire, there's tremendous after effects in terms of your emotional and your mental well-being that could last for months or even years after that. You know, we tend to think of this as a problem that will affect predominantly low-income countries or middle-income countries, but climate change has inflicted lethal heat, you know, right here in the United States as well. Heat waves kill more Americans than any other extreme weather event, and that is going to get more and more common in the coming years. So we need to take the steps now to prepare for that. You leave with this feeling that people are amazingly resilient, that they adapt to their circumstances, that they can go through a lot and still make a life for themselves. But also, at some point, it becomes too much. And I think we're approaching that point where even the most resilient people, the type of lives that they have to live, because of the effects of climate change, that's not going to be sustainable for very much longer.
Dhruv Kular practices at Weill Cornell Medicine, a hospital in New York. And you can find his reporting from India and all his writing on COVID-19 and other subjects at newyorker.com.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.